Morning, everyone. God is our defender. Have you ever thought about what that means? Today, that's what we're going to talk about, but let's kind of put this in kind of a frame of mind that maybe a lot of you have heard. This picture was taken at one of my niece's basketball games. The other team had the ball, and of course, what are we all screaming? Come on, guys. Defense! 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 Right? Next weekend, when the Seahawks have the ball, what are we going to scream to the Steelers? Oh, come on. They're not going to hear you. Defense! That's right. Defense! What does that mean when we're calling out? Defense! Defense! What does it mean when we're in opposition or when we're in defense mode? And what does it mean that God is our defender? That's what I want to talk about today with you. And this word kind of was in my heart and my mind because last week we sang, Lord, I need you. And man, I need him. I don't know about you, but I need him. But there is this one line that kind of stuck out to me. You're my one defense, my righteousness. So if we're calling out to God, I need you, well, we need him because he's our defense. And our righteousness. Well, so what does that mean? I want to unpack that with you today. So being the teacher that I am, first thing I did was I figured out if we're going to talk about it, we need to make sure we understand what that means. So defense is the action of preventing an opponent from scoring, like we see in sports, right? Or the action of defending from resisting attack. So we're preventing and defending. We don't want the other team to get the points. And in our life, God is defending us, and we don't want to give the points to Satan and his work. We want to give the points to God and his glory. So God is defending us. So what does that mean that offense is attacking someone or something? And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I may not always defend the gospel well. It might be more of an offense to people. It might be more of an attack because, you know, sometimes we just get fed up with the world, right? So we want to think about how do we defend the gospel, not attack people because they're not getting it. We want to make it a way that people will understand it and want to receive it also at the same token because we learn by example. We learn by modeling. And when I think about, you know, somebody who defended the gospel really, really well, I think about the Apostle Paul. And I think Paul was under so much attack. If we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 28, these are just some of the things that Paul had to go through. All right? I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Anybody else? Relate to that. Thank you. Yes. Can anyone else relate to that? Anyone else have that bad of a life? It's been that hard to defend the gospel. Beaten with rods, stoned, 3 times shipwrecked, spent the night and a day in the open sea, constantly on the move. I understand that. I've been in danger from rivers, danger from bandits, danger from my own countrymen. I don't know, what would you feel in there? Danger from, I don't know what. That's where you fill in the blank yourself. Danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the country. Basically, danger everywhere. Danger at sea, danger from false brothers. Labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I think a lot of parents feel that way, right? I have known hunger and thirst. Have we really known hunger and thirst? Probably not. Probably every single one of us can go in our refrigerators and open it up and there's food. Or go in your pantries. Even though we say, there's nothing to eat. Honestly, we have not known hunger and thirst. Gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches. That's a lot on his plate. He's gone through a lot. I would say that Paul definitely was under attack. Would you agree with me? But we are also under attack. but God is our defender. And we know that what is actually attacking us, even though it feels like it's humans or situations, that actually when we look in Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It is a spiritual battle that we are fighting every day of our lives. So God is our defense in this battle. We want to get points for God, no points for Satan. You with me? So which team you want to be on? Team God, right? All right. Well, who are you going to vote for next week? Steelers or Seahawks? No, I'm kidding. There might be some like avid Seahawk fans here. We don't want to attack you. We don't want you to feel like you're offended. So the lies that we believe, that's spiritual warfare. And we're going to talk a lot about how can we defend ourselves? How does God defend us? First, we're going to talk about how God defends us and then what we need to defend. So we hear this word defense a lot in the secular scene and also in the biblical scene. So let's talk through that a little bit. Very often, people say it's just self-defense, right? So the secular world will say, you know what? You just need to think positive. You need to have a positive energy about yourself. Have good vibes, right? They'll even go as far as say good karma, You don't want to have those bad vibes. Don't bring those negative vibes in this meeting or into this situation. They also, some people go as far as they have protective crystals, protective spells over houses. I mean, that's a lot more mystical that we probably don't deal with as much. But I think these last three, we probably see them, and I would even venture to say, sometimes we might teeter on the fence a little bit with these things. Meditation. Now, it does say to meditate on the Word of God, which is a very positive thing. But when I think of meditation, I think of something like, But when they're sitting there trying to be still and quiet, are they meditating on God? Are they meditating on who God is? Or are they just trying to talk themselves off the ledge and hope that they can somehow have enough positive energy to get out of the situation they're in? And then the world will say, just need to find your inner peace. Oh, just be peaceful. Just take a deep breath and breathe. And yes, we do need to breathe. But we know where that peace should come from, which we'll talk about in a second. The last thing that the world will say, it's not the last thing, but the last thing I'll mention, is they say, just hold strong to your religion. Religion will get you through this. Religion, go to church, just stay with your religion. Religion is not bad, but there's something much better than that. So that's what the world says. Let's look at what the Bible says. The Bible says that in order to fight spiritual defense, that we need to pray. Why do you think Jesus taught his disciples to pray besides that they said, Lord, teach us how to pray? Because you have to understand they were just a bunch of boys that would have not grown up learning how to pray in the synagogue. So Jesus taught them to pray. And I want to challenge you with that. When you say the Lord's Prayer, do you just say it because you've been saying it for 10, 20, 30, 40, however many years of your life, that it just becomes another thing that I do? Or do you say with the power and authority that it really does have? So when you stop and think of the words, just like any song that we sing, when you stop and think about the words, it should move something in you. It should spark something in you that you realize, we're saying that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means we're taking ourselves out of the pictures and we're saying, God, you got to show yourself here. Thank you for our daily bread. Or in Ethiopia, we would say daily injera. Do you really thank God for your bread every day or whatever it is that you eat? Gluten-free people would not say that. See, I'm trying to keep guys awake, so... And then if you don't know what to say, some people will say, Rachel, you're so eloquent in your prayers. Oh my goodness, I can't pray like you. Just say the name of Jesus, because there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And we don't have to have this like massively loud, authoritative voice, because actually God will hear you when you whisper it. But we do need to speak with authority, and we do need to speak believing in the power of that name. You know, living in Africa, I think they always thought the louder you were, the more God would hear you. Because you would walk past the church and you would hear them screaming, in the name of Jesus. And I remember just thinking, God doesn't, he'll respond to the shout, but he'll also respond to the whisper. It's not about the loudness, it's about the passion. And we'll talk about Africans' passion too, because they do know how to worship the Lord well. God's word, that's the second way that we can, which actually is a piece of the armor of God, right? Which we'll talk about. Brandon saying, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119:105. I learned that when I was a child. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. King James Version, of course. We need to take this book and use it as a defense weapon, not taking it, throwing it at people and saying, why can't you just get it? But we need to speak the truth in love, as it talks about. And using the word of God to combat the lies that Satan is trying to perpetuate in the society around us. And you guys know those lies. I don't have to say what they are. You hear them all around you. You hear how society has twisted things and said, oh, really, that's not the truth. This is the truth. No, those are lies. That's a lie. Lies and untruth. Truth is God's word. It's what he has proclaimed. The third thing is the armor of God. I'm going to hold on to that for the last, because I'm going to keep you intrigued. But the armor of God is a powerful, powerful weapon that we all need to be using in our lives. Not just when we're under spiritual attack, but every day of our lives. We don't want to be going out to battle. We would never send somebody out to fight a battle without proper, you know, footwear and training them how to use a gun or strategies, right? So why do we think we can go through spiritual battle and just hopefully at the last minute pull out, oh, I think I learned this in Sunday school one day. No, we need to know and be using it. Living in community. Now you might be like, how is that spiritual defense? But did you know that Satan loves to isolate us? Think about it. When you're sad and depressed and you don't want to deal with people, what do you say to yourself? I'm just going to sit in my house by myself. Or I'm just going to go over here and be by myself. Which there's nothing wrong with doing that for a short period of time. But it's when you linger in isolation. I don't know about you, but my mind starts to play all those lies. Oh, you're really not worth it. Oh, come on. There's no way you can do what God's called you to do. Oh, did God really call you to Ecuador? I feel like I'm back in the Garden of Eden. But when I'm around people and I'm around my brothers and sisters in Christ, they're like, Rachel, you remember that one day you told me about what God did for you in Ethiopia? Or you remember how God confirmed that it was Ecuador? That a year ago today, you were in Ecuador, and God was just like, boom, open your eyes to see this was going to be your new home. Which is true. A year ago, I was in Ecuador on my vision trip. So when we live in community, it prevents us from being isolated. It allows people to be speaking truth into our life. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I love my friends who will give me a good, swift kick in the butt and say, you know what, that's fine. I understand you're sad about that, but you are a child of God, so put your armor back on, girl. Get out there, princess warrior, and start fighting. Don't live in defeat. Because, guys, that's what the world sees so much. They see Christians who are defeated. And then they're like, why should I go to church? Why would I want to be a Christian? There's no hope. We have a hope. So live in community. And next week is a great time for them to see what a Christian community looks like. We're going to have fun. I'm sorry I won't be here. I really wish I could. But I'll be at Liberty University talking to college students about missions. But I was like, oh, yay, I'll be here, and then I won't. But bring them next week. You get to have fun, and if you're not a sports person, there's going to be so many other things to do. And you're going to get to eat food. I mean, what, you can't go wrong with eating good food, right? And hanging out. So if you see somebody this week and they're like, oh, I don't know what to do with my Sunday, you'd be like, hey, come to church with me. You don't need to say church. Just say, hey, come watch a Steeler game with me. Come eat some good food with me. And it's going to be a church, but it's not going to be your traditional church. All right. We talked about inner peace, right? We know that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And I'm so thankful for that. And I think about like the hurricane that's going on and the tornadoes actually that are going on around the country. And the great thing about a tornado is there is an eye in it. And in that eye is complete stillness and peace. Even though there's chaos all around it. And I don't know about you, but I know that there's been times in my life that I feel like there's been complete chaos all around me, but I have felt this peace that passes all understanding. That's what that verse says. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's what it's about. We can rely on the Prince of Peace. And society will say, you need to have religion. But we know that when we have a relationship with God, that is our defense. We know God is our defender. We know we can trust in God. And we know that He has our back, literally, because of what happened on Jesus' back and what He went through. We know that we can depend on Him. Defense in the Old Testament and New Testament. So who do we defend? Who is God defending? In the Old Testament, we see a lot that He's defending the poor and the fatherless. Proverbs 23 talks about kinsman redeemer, which was a forerunner for Jesus and what Jesus did for us. Boaz did that for Ruth and Naomi. He brought them back into status where they really shouldn't have had any status. And they take up the case of the people. That's what the kinsman redeemer does. Boaz went before a council and said, hey, I want to marry Ruth. And they're all like, why do you want to marry her? It's an amazing love story, by the way. If you want a great love story, read Ruth. Okay? But they speak for the cause of the people. And that's what God does. He speaks up for us. But He also calls us to defend those that don't have a voice. And I feel like for the past 20 years of my life or so, I have been a voice for kids. I've been a voice for missionary families. I've been a voice for that missionary kid. And I was like, hey, listen to their story. Listen to their heart. In Isaiah 1:17, it talks about learning to do right, seeking justice, encourage the oppressed, plead the cause of widows, defend the case of the poor or the fatherless. This is who God defends, but we're also supposed to defend them. Who are the poor among us? Are there widows among us? And I know there are. So we need to pick up their case and speak for them. Love them. Encourage them. There could be people who are fatherless in this room as well. God defends you because God is your Father. Defend them. Speak up for them. And then I want to go to the verse in Deuteronomy because it actually is something maybe we don't think about. We think a lot about, I need to defend the poor and the fatherless and the widows and the orphans. But we don't always think about this group of people. And maybe I'm just sensitive to it because I'm in this group. In Deuteronomy 10:17-21, so this is, they're talking to the Israelites here, but it applies as much to us today. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. Verse 18, He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourself were aliens in Egypt. Fear the Lord your God and serve Him. Hold fast to Him and take your oaths in His name. He is your praise. He is your God who performed for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. We are to defend the aliens. I'm not talking about extraterrestrial people from another planet, if that actually does exist or not. I'm talking about people who their home country may not be this country. They've been displaced. They've chosen to come live in another country, sometimes by choice and sometimes not. I understand that because I have been an alien. I am an alien, actually. And so I am so thankful that when I lived in Paraguay, when I lived in Ethiopia, and I'm praying for the people that will do this for me in Ecuador, those are the people that said, hey, this is not your home country, your home culture. We understand that you've come here. We also understand that you don't understand how things work here. And so can we help you better understand that? Better understand the culture, the customs, give you a really good taste of the food. That's a good benefit of it. They would welcome me into their homes. They would treat me like I was family. If there was a family gathering, they're like, well, you're going to be there, right? Because you are family. And that's how we see the body of Christ extended around the world. That's how it applies to me, but how does it apply to you? Are there aliens around you? Do you know anybody who has left their home country either by no choice at all or because they've chosen to and they're trying to figure out how to do life here in the United States? They're trying to figure out how to do life in Pennsylvania. They're trying to figure out how to do life in Irwin, North Huntington. We are to defend them and speak up for them, just as much as the poor and the fatherless and the widows. This is probably a marginal group that nowadays society, they're like, well, what do we do with these people that have come into our country? This is what God tells us to do, defend them, honor them, love them, give them food and clothing. That's what it says. So find somebody that's from a different culture of you. Yeah, it's going to be hard and it's going to be uncomfortable. But God calls us to do this because God defends them as well. Because I'm thankful for those that take care of me. And I know you guys are thankful that people take care of me too, right? Kind of put your minds at ease. Like, okay, Rachel's okay over there. Good. She has family. All right. So in the Old Testament, we saw a lot about social issues that were defended. New Testament, Jesus had came. He did what he had come to do. And now we see the apostles defending the gospel, which we are current day apostles and disciples. I should say we are disciples. And so our job is to defend the gospel. So let's take a look at this. In Philippians 1, verses 3, and I'm only going to read to 8 right now. It says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry on to completion until the day of Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with affection of Jesus Christ. This is a prayer that I would say I would pray for you guys. And I would say thank you, God, for Northern Alliance. Because when I leave, whenever that is, you are helping me to do the work that God has called me to do in Ecuador. And I thank you. I thank God for you. And there's a good truth in there. Confidence that he began a good work is faithful to complete it. I have to say that every day when I'm like, when will I go? When will I go? But we have to defend the gospel here. And then another thing, which is a picture I really want us to capture, is in 1 John 2:1. It says, my dear children, I write this to you so you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. We sang about that, amazing grace. What Jesus did on the cross for us was defending us. Jesus said, it's their sin, but I'll take the punishment. That's what makes it so amazing. I don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. We deserve to die. But Jesus said, I will do that because I love them. So when I think about what God asked me to defend, I think, wow, he defended way more than I ever do. So I can do this little bit for him, right? I can stand up for the gospel. I can defend the gospel no matter where I am. And I can do that because I can really rely on God as my defender. It's a cause worth fighting for. Now, our passage talked about, and this psalm is a specific cry out to God from David, and he did this a lot. But, you know, his enemies were close up to him, and he's saying, God, would you please be the divine warrior and judge and defend me, your servant? And in verse 2, we see that he needed some weapons for close battle, a shield and a buckler, which is a little shield you put on your left arm. And so we think about that. Sometimes the battle is like right in our face. So that's when we take up our shield and buckler. But then sometimes we have people pursuing us, which means we need something more like a spear or a javelin, right? And so that we can throw it at them. So sometimes we need some more weapons for defense. But I love how it says in verse 3, say to my soul, I am your salvation. That's talking about speaking truth in our lives. God is our salvation. And whenever we're in this battle and we see God fighting for us, defending us, then our response should be that our soul will rejoice. And I will exalt. There's that peace that comes. There's that joy that the world can see. We're delighting in him. It says our whole beings will exclaim. That's we're giving God everything. And this is where I really saw it in African cultures. Like when Africans worship God, they worship God. I'm talking about moving and dancing and clapping and screaming and la, 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 la. So like with all of their being, there's no doubt that they are worshiping the Lord. And I know we're a little more reserved here, and that's okay. But does it mean in our hearts that we're not doing like flips and jumps in our hearts? You know? Our whole being should be saying, oh Lord, who is like you? There's no other God like you. And then 28 says, my tongue will speak of your righteousness all day long. And this is where we are definitely the model and the witness for people is people are seeing how are we responding to things in our lives. Psalms 18, I want to encourage you guys to read this psalm on your own. But just kind of, as I was reading through it, I saw the word defender 3 times, protector 6 times, that you're safe or safety 5 times, that he is a strong God 3 times, he saves us or he's our savior 4 times. So if you ever need one of those psalms to hold on to and be like, oh man, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Read this psalm to remind yourself that God is your defender. He will save you. He will protect you. And then the end of that psalm, I love it because it says at the end, and so I will praise you among the nations. I will sing praises to you. That should be our response, is singing praises. Which actually, I would add that to our list of ways that we fight spiritual defense, is we praise God. And I don't know about you, but there's times in my life, and this happened a couple of Sundays ago, I was at a church and they were singing, God, you are so good, or God, you are good. And I'm like, I believe that, but I don't feel that right now. I don't feel that you're good. I want to go to Ecuador. Like, you know, I was having my little tantrum. But I chose in that moment to proclaim that God is good. And that's what we have to do. It's not that you have to do it with all your heart in that moment, but just even proclaiming it, saying it, speaking it, is saying in your face, Satan, God has this. I trust God in this. God is my defender. God is your defender. So what's trying to attack you? that keeps you from praising Him? Is it worry? Is it doubt? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it sickness? Is it a family member or a coworker? I even venture to say, is it yourself? Because sometimes we are our worst enemies. So the last part of this, let's see how you guys respond to this. This is my picture of, you know, when I was in Ethiopia, and I was going through a lot, like a lot of spiritual warfare was going on. And so God said, I want you to study the armor of God, Rachel. So I studied every piece, and I thought about every piece. And also at that time, then I was going to be doing a retreat for missionary kids. And so God's like, I want you to share what you've been learning with these missionary kids. Because they need to learn early in life to put on the armor of God. If they wait until they're adults, there's already so many battles that they would have fought. Because you guys fight battles in school, right? Yeah? Yeah, you deal with the world in schools. So this is my homemade Ethiopian rendition of the armor of God, okay? But I'm going to show you something that I do, and I want to encourage you, if you can, to stand. I'm going to take you through an activity that I do to encourage me about putting on the armor of God. So come on, guys, stand up. Don't be afraid. If this is too much for you, you can watch. Participation is not required, okay? But maybe this will help some of you. All right, you guys know all about the armor of God, right? So make sure I get all the pieces, okay? All right, the first thing I want to put on is my belt of truth. So put on your belt of truth. If you don't know truth, then all you're going to believe is lies, and your pants are going to fall down. And you don't want your spiritual pants to fall down, right? You don't want to be caught off guard. Seriously. But actually, the belt holds everything else together. All right? So put on your belt of truth. Click. It's there. All right? And then the next thing that we put on is our breastplate of righteousness, which covers our heart. And it's called the breastplate of righteousness so that we know what is right. Because you know the truth, now you know the right thing to do. So when you're like, what should I do? What should I do? Your breastplate of righteousness is on and you know the right thing to do. Okay? And then you're going to put on, and you can do this however you can, put on your shoes of the gospel of peace. The people around us are looking to see the good news. And they're trying to see it in a peaceful way. And the world's very chaotic. We know this. All three of these pieces you have to put on every single day, guys. Every single day. Don't ever take them off, actually. All right? So we got our belts, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel of peace. All right, the next one is the shield of faith. All right? And that is going to help us as we are extinguishing the flaming darts from Satan. Those darts are called distractions and lies and anything to get us off of God, our focus on God. That's when we go into, oh man, this is so hard. There's no way I'm ever going to get through this. Oh. And Satan's like, yeah, that's right. You won't. But when you have your faith there, faith, the opposite of faith is fear. So if fear is something you deal with, put on that, get that shield of faith. Okay? But then sometimes, guys, it's really, really hard to lift up your own because you might be in battle a lot. So I want you to link arms with the person next to you. Because sometimes we need to link with our brothers and sisters in Christ and say, can you help me lift my shield of faith? And I need to get better at doing this with you guys because sometimes I'm so weak and I will need you guys to help me link my shield of faith, okay, as a church. I need your prayers more or whatever, all right? So we have our shield of faith. Then we put on our helmet of salvation. Boom. If my head is covered, guess what it's protecting? My mind. Oof. Your mind is battlefield, those thoughts that go through your mind. But if you have this big shield helmet on there, those lies aren't going to penetrate through the helmet. You're going to remember that you are a daughter or a son of Jesus Christ. Or I call myself a princess warrior. I'm a daughter of the king. That's why I love purple, because it's the color of royalty. So So say that. I am a daughter, or I am a son of the King. All right? You believe that. You put the helmet on because you need to remember that He has saved you, not just from hell, but He saved you, and He saves you all the time. All right, what am I missing? The sword? The pants. Yeah, I think that's from your song. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Bible. That's why you memorize God's Word. And that's why you proclaim God's Word out loud whenever you are trying to combat those lies. You combine it with the truth. And that's where you as a community say, remember what God has done for you. Remember that you are this in Christ. Remember, remember, remember. Okay? And over all of it, cover it in prayer. Cover in prayer. And that's why SIM's motto is by prayer. You guys can have a seat. Thank you for your participation. Hopefully that helps you. Cover everything in prayer. So we need to be in prayer. God is our defender. And the song, the hymn that we're going to sing at the end is by Martin Luther. And I don't know if you know anything about Martin Luther, but he was kind of a gutsy guy. When he started reading Romans, he realized this word grace. And he's like, hold up. It's not by anything that I do that I get to heaven. It's by grace that I get to heaven. And so he took 95 theses or 95 ideas. He walked up the Catholic Church on October the 31st, long, long time ago, and went, and he said, this is what I stand behind. Because he believed God was his defender, that no matter what the Catholic Church said, that he was willing to say, I will stand for the gospel. I will stand for what the Word of God says, that I believe in this grace thing. That's pretty gutsy, right? But God is calling us to do the same thing. So as we sing, a mighty fortress is our God. It doesn't say, this little tiny wall, that's our God. No, a mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark, never failing. That's like a big, tall wall that surrounds the city. Think about that. Proclaim that. Because Satan can't touch this. MC Hammer, you can't touch this, right? That's right. We belong to God. We are His children. And the battle belongs to Him. He's our great defender. So let's proclaim a mighty fortress is our God.